Today on Annenberg Radio News.
It continued long after Rodney King was subdued. There was no way he was going to be moving. It just kept going on and on.
20 years ago today, a videotape of LA police beating Rodney King sparked anger and outrage. We'll hear reactions and memories of that time. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 3rd, 2011. I'm Megan Dickey. A woman confined to a wheelchair was sentenced today for fatally stabbing a Dorsey High student. A Los Angeles Superior Court judge sentenced Triana Turner to 16 years to life in prison for killing her romantic rival's teenage daughter. The victim, Yolanda Kennard, was a rising star on Dorsey's girls' basketball team. Kennard was killed almost 2 years ago when Turner wheeled up to her on a South LA street and stabbed her in the chest. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa introduced a new dining campaign today during a news conference at LA Live. Melissa Butler tells us that LA is now offering a side of fresh air with every meal.
Starting March 8th, smoking will no longer be allowed within 10 feet of outdoor dining areas or within 40 feet of food trucks. Mayor Villaraigosa calls it the Fresh Air Campaign.
Matter of fact, the city will take another major step forward in promoting healthy living by becoming the largest city in the United States to date to make outdoor dining areas smoke-free. How about that?
Restaurants and food trucks will be required to post visible no smoking signs outside their place of business. The fine for disobeying the law will cost a hefty $500.
What we really want to do is educate people about the need for us to respect others, to do what we can to prevent secondhand smoke, to do what we can to encourage more people not to smoke, and importantly, to lead the way.
We have heard for years that secondhand smoke is harmful to our health. It is filled with over 4,000 chemicals that can lead to cancer and premature deaths. Dr. Kathleen Magliotto, a cardiovascular surgeon, says she sees the effect of secondhand smoke every day.
Can you even imagine what it's like to sit across from a patient who has no risk factors for heart disease or lung cancer, except that they either live with a smoker or they're exposed to secondhand smoke? That is a tremendous burden because these people are innocent victims.
LA Live says all of its restaurant owners support this new law. Dean Schwartz, the owner of Dino's Gourmet Pizza, knows firsthand the effects of secondhand smoke.
I left home at the age of 16 and found myself employed in the bar and restaurant business. I spent 20 years, and during those 20 years, I was exposed to secondhand smoke, and it has changed my life. It has left me with respiratory problems and weakened immune system. Every day for me is a challenge.
The California Department of Health Services did a survey in 2005 that showed 93% prefer to eat in restaurants that are smoke-free. Looks like the new law will be good for our health and good for business. Melissa Butler, Annenberg Radio News.
The Vision Theater is a historical gem in Leimert Park, but it's fallen into disrepair. But now, with the combination of grants and city funding, the aging theater is getting a makeover. Amanda Smith has the story.
The Village Theater was once a booming movie palace, and actress Judy Pace remembers it well.
It is such a pleasure to be here in my own community, standing here in my own theater. And I am one who will admit, as a kid, I came to the movies here. When Leimert Park still had a covenant where you could not buy a house in Leimert Park.
Pace and other celebrities joined Councilman Bernard Parks at the theater to announce that the city is funding a project that will restore and renovate the 80-year-old building.
This theater, in my judgment, will become the economic engine for Leimert Park Village. We believe it will have everything from a grade school graduation to live performances to plays to 99-seat theaters, a variety of things to where it will bring people to the village several hundred times a year.
The project will also include a junior arts center that will provide programs for local children.
And again, I'm so looking forward to all of the wonderful productions that will be done here and all of the young people who will be trained here and all of you who will come and buy tickets here, right?
Ticket sales used to thrive at the Vision Theater until the 1990s, when business declined because of the LA riots and an economic recession. Actress Marla Gibbs owned it at that time, but could no longer make the payments. She was at today's announcement to celebrate the theater's revival.
The color on the walls is nice, and I'm glad to see the marble floors are still here, and my carpet is still here. I'm sorry we're losing all the classic lines of this old building, but time does march on, and buildings do start to crumble, so I'm glad we're doing it before it starts to crumble.
The project is expected to cost nearly $22 million and will consist of four phases. Phase one of the project will begin in the next few weeks and is expected to take 12 months to complete. And if funding comes through for all of these phases, the city hopes to finish the project in just 3 years. Amanda Smith, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight it's going to be mostly cloudy. And keep alert, visibility will be 1/4 mile or less. And the lows will fall into the lower 50s. Tomorrow we'll have more low clouds, but the highs should peak around 70. And get ready for it, Friday night, mostly clear skies with lows in the 50s. And it's going to be a warm and sunny Saturday with highs in the lower to mid 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll hear from incumbent Councilman Bernard Parks and his opponent, Fressy Hogan-Rolls. Twenty years ago today, Rodney King was pulled over and severely beaten by LAPD officers. The violence was caught on home video by a man who lived in apartments across the street. More than a year later, when the officers were acquitted, massive riots erupted in Los Angeles. Emily Frost asked community members for their memories of those tumultuous months and about what's changed 20 years later.
You can't hear much in this videotape, but the pictures of a man on the ground beaten by a crowd of police officers startled the nation. His name was Rodney King, a name that would become synonymous with LAPD police brutality.
When I watched the beating, it was a severe one with a number of officers, and it just kept going on and on.
That's Paul Skolnick, who worked as an assignment editor at KNBC at the time of the beating. His station was one of many that played the video shot by bystander George Holliday.
The Rodney King beating brought to the forefront something many people had known about but seldom discussed, and that was racial disparity in the way people were treated by law enforcement.
For many African-American residents, scenes of the beating touched a raw nerve. Daphne Bradford, a teacher in South L.A., said it reminded her of the civil rights era.
Put the dogs on you, and you were fighting for your rights. And you see this happening during your time, and you're like, really?
Four white police officers were tried in the beating of King. When they were acquitted in April of 1992, South L.A. and other parts of the city erupted in violence. Bradford remembers that at the time, she was heading home from a heated community meeting at First AME Church.
And the one thing that I remember, and I will never forget, that when I drove, I had to drive through the fire, you know, the smoke and all that stuff. I was just hoping that the tires on my car didn't melt because it felt like hell on earth. And I was just praying all the way home that nobody shot my windows out, nobody killed me, that you know, my tires didn't melt, that I could just make it.
After she made it through a fire that was like an inferno, she knew she would make it through the rest of the riots. Memories of the riots are painful for many Korean Americans as well. A Ki-young Kang was living in Gardena. The family had an auto parts business. When the riots broke out, her husband wanted to get a gun, but Kang didn't want him involved in the violence. The trauma of having her business looted and eventually closed is still fresh.
We lost everything. Yeah, I'm so sad. Yeah, he's shocked now. So after riot, and many business is broke, and they close out. After then, our business is closed. It was closed.
Kang faults the police for not intervening.
They didn't nothing. Just chewing the gum, and they're laughing, and just watching.
Civil rights activist Earl Ofari Hutchinson explains why Korean-American store owners became targets in the riots.
There was a feeling that they were disrespectful, that they were just in the community to make money, they wouldn't hire you, and essentially they were not part of the community, so they were easy and soft targets.
Kang's family went back to Korea and lived there for many years. They eventually returned to the U.S. and now own a dry cleaning business in Torrance. Ethnic tensions and poverty, some of the things that led to the riots, still persist. But Police Chief Charlie Beck talked about what's changed in the police department.
Inarguably, we are a much better police department in the intervening 20 years.
Beck said the LAPD has an approval rating of 83%. In 1992, there were 90,000 violent crimes. Last year, there were only 20,000. The way the police department is run has changed as well. The police chief has term limits and serves at the pleasure of the mayor. Jasmine Kanick is a communications strategist in West Adams. She noticed changes in the LAPD as well.
We see a lot more African Americans in leadership in the LAPD. We see a lot more black female officers on the street.
Technology has changed things too, Kanick says.
I think people, especially officers, are a lot more careful with what they do in public because everyone has a phone. Sixth graders walk around with phones, senior citizens walk around with phones with videos.
Daphne Bradford still sees the history of the riots when she drives around South LA.
But when you see a building that's vacant or just a lot there, kind of think, I wonder if that's still from 1992 when they burned it.
What do you remember of the Rodney King beating and the 1992 riots? We want to hear from you. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
Rodney King's anniversary is on every news channel today. Reporter Stephanie Guzman turned to the Twitterverse instead to see what people are saying about the incident 20 years later.
Rodney King is on so many minds today that it became a trending topic on Twitter. User Darius Vinson says, it's a shame that we have an anniversary for a beating. User AFR Lizard King agrees. She says she doesn't know if Twitter users should be trending the anniversary. User Dre Day 85 says, I remember right after the Rodney King beating, there were tanks rolling down my street in Leimert with a 7 p.m. curfew. The city was nuts. User John NYMan93 asks whether race relations have gotten better since that day, but most users tweeted something similar to user K Business, who responded, sadly, we're still not getting along. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Send us a tweet with your thoughts at our handle, Annenberg Radio. Just 5 days from today, Los Angeles voters will make some big decisions. South LA residents in the 8th and 10th district council seats will decide whether to re-elect the incumbent council members or replace them with new faces. Annenberg Radio News has teamed up with Intersection South LA to bring you interviews with candidates from both districts. Stephanie McNeil interviewed 10th district candidate Andy Kim, or Andrew Andy Kim. Kim shares why he thinks the district needs what he calls business-friendly leadership.
When Andrew Kim immigrated to America from Korea at the age of 14, he was most impressed with the American political system.
It's largely a grassroots system that I really like.
Kim was inspired to go to law school, to practice civil litigation for over 20 years, and now to run for city council.
I think that it's a very important for a person like me, working and living in the district, really be a part of this political system. And right now, the city is not responsive to the average individual professional like myself.
Kim is running for city council in District 10, which covers diverse areas from Koreatown to parts of the Vermont Quarter and USC. Kim says his experiences working within District 10 have helped him understand how important this area is.
This is like heart of Los Angeles in terms of geography, demography, and just its cultural and ethnic composition. I think that this area needs to change first for Los Angeles to change.
What changes would Kim make? He says the biggest change needs to be an economic revitalization through the creation of new jobs and incentives for businesses to stay in the district. He says he will use other cities as models to make sure businesses come to and stay in his district.
You know, this area has been economically depressed for a long time. We need to have a new leadership, business-friendly leadership. We have, nearby cities like Burbank, which have, business coming in, and they must be doing something right.
But Kim says most importantly, he is in the race to be the voice for the average citizen.
Throughout my law practice, I've been representing those who are weak and helpless, and many senior citizens, and those people who are hardworking, working couples. I think that these people need to be represented in the city hall. And I bring in 20-plus years of legal practice, and my heart, that is for the average citizen.
Kim says he hopes he can give back to the country and the city that have given him so much. Stephanie McNeil, Annenberg Radio News.
That was Andy Kim, who is running for the 10th District Council seat. We'll now hear from one more candidate in the 10th District. Samantha Herman talked to Austin Dragon.
After spending the last 16 years as a corporate recruiter, Austin Dragon is making a move into politics. He's hoping to unseat incumbent Herb Wesson as the city council member for Los Angeles' 10th District. We spoke with Mr. Dragon about why he's running, his background, his priorities for the district, and why he thinks it is so important to put an end to what he calls the political dynasty that runs Los Angeles.
I'm running because what I tell people is I moved to Los Angeles 20 years ago. I love everything about this city except for one thing, and that's the people who run our local government. We're in a crisis situation, and the leadership we have right now is basically clueless. They have no plan of action. They're not doing anything about the financial crisis the city is in, and that's why I'm running, and that's why I decided to run actually a few years ago. My district, District 10, includes parts of the west side, basically from the Palms, mid-city, mid-Wilshire area, includes parts of Koreatown and parts of South L.A. Huge district, 125,000 residents. I've been active in the city on a number of different things. I'm on the board of a private school in the Watts area, and I've just been a community activist for quite a while. And my day job for the last 16 years, I've been a employment specialist and corporate recruiter, so I'm the guy you come to see for jobs. For District 10, what I look at it, in terms of its diversity, it's really a microcosm of the entire city because of that diversity, because of the breakdown of businesses and residents. I love the district. I view it as really the front yard of Los Angeles. It provides a lot of opportunities. If we can get it right in District 10, we can get it right in the entire city. The priorities would be to get the city's financial house in order and avert the second largest city in the nation declaring bankruptcy. Second thing would be to get Los Angelinos back to work. Parts of my district, our unemployment rate is over 16%. And the third thing would be the crumbling infrastructure and basically our vanishing basic services. What's been happening in Los Angeles is that they've been playing favorites to those who contribute to their campaign, their friends, and all of that. I want to look at it, how do I better my community? And how do I look out for all of my residents, regardless of where they live? And I'm not part of any special interests, particularly those that really have run this city for so long and has brought us to the financial crisis that we're in. I'm just an average person. I've been in the private sector over 16 years, been active in my community for 20 years, and that's what we need. We need people who are just from the private sector, not connected to any special interests, and get them in office, because the people we have always been part of some kind of political dynasty, and look where they've brought us to.
That was Austin Dragon, a candidate for Los Angeles City Council in the 10th District. Intersection South LA tried repeatedly to interview 10th District incumbent Herb Wesson. He did not respond to the request. We continue now with our city council candidate interviews. Incumbent Councilman Bernard Parks is bidding for a third term representing the 8th District. Emily Frost spoke with him about his biggest accomplishments.
Well, I'm running because I've had significant success in the first 8 years of bringing back the community on a variety of levels. And I think we have turned the corner on a number of issues, whether it's economic development, are looking at the rail systems coming in, bringing in grocery stores for the first time in 25 years, that I think the community is looking to see how this community can continue to flourish in the next 4 years.
How do you think you'll respond to Governor Brown's cuts, and how will that affect your district?
Well, it's going to affect us on the sense that most of the cuts are cuts that are going to affect the county. But we will see the end result of it, because those who can't get those services, we will see them spill out into the city street. The thing that he will impact the city the most is if he's successful at disbanding the CRA, then poor communities will certainly suffer in their inability to gather funds to help develop their community.
What would you say is the number one priority for you?
For the district, the number one issue is an increasing job growth. That's the number one issue.
And if people were to know one thing about you, what would be the most important thing?
Integrity and honesty.
What's the most important thing about your district?
I think the important thing is that we have a district that is in transition, and we have a district that in many instances has been ignored for decades. There is a great deal of frustration about that being ignored. What you find in talking to people, often they will tell you nothing is going on in the district. And you begin to recite to them within blocks of their residence, are you aware that, you know, just like I talked to a lady today, are you aware there's a Kaiser Hospital facility going in on Manchester and Budlong? No, I'm not. You know that your library has brand new and increased number of internet access, free access computers.
Is there one thing that you want voters to think about in terms of your accomplishments on Tuesday?
The list of activities, the list of things that they gave me when I came in office, many of them have been achieved. They wanted to see dirt alleys paved. We paved 50% of them, 15 miles of dirt alleys. They wanted to see Vermont-Manchester become alive. We put in 4 years, $100 million office building there. They wanted to see the issues of Baldwin Hills Shopping Center revitalization. We have a developer in with about a $200 to $400 million plan, and they now will get a Staples, and they'll see the new Magic Johnson Theater. They've just opened up the Buffalo Wild Wings. They were interested in public transportation. We have two new rail systems. We've worked very hard to get Measure R passed so that we could have a rail system coming down Crenshaw Boulevard and the completion of the Expo Line. So these are things that in each instance, we tried to make sure that the community was heard and that we listened to what they thought their needs were. When they asked about the fact that there were no community cultural events in the district, we have now the Taste of Soul. We have the Leimert Park MLK Festival after the parade. We now have jazz festivals in the park and in Leimert Park. We have a fireworks show on 4th of July. These are all things that are being given back to the community that they asked for.
That was Councilman Bernard Parks of the 8th District. We'll now hear from District 8 candidate Faresi Hogan-Rolls. She's up against current council member Bernard Parks. I asked her why she's running for city council.
I actually decided 8 years ago
when I ran for city council in this very election, this very seat, I lost that race to Bernard Parks. And I determined then that if the district wasn't doing better in 8 years, I would run again.
So what exactly are you committed to changing or improving?
Well, you know, there's a number of things that have gone unattended under the leadership or lack of leadership of Bernard Parks. The first thing I want to work on is new job creation, because we have the highest unemployment, and that's coupled with expanding local business and encouraging new business development within our district, because our corridors don't have enough businesses operating in them. And so if you have new business, then that will create new jobs. Parallel to that, it's really important to meet the needs of our residents. Our residents have suffered a lack of community services from the city for the past 8 years. And I really want to concentrate on delivering basic services, our potholes filled, our alleys paved. All of our curbs throughout the 8th District are not wheelchair accessible yet. Our trees haven't been trimmed.
Well, what will Governor Jerry Brown's proposed budget cuts mean for your district and your plans to improve the district?
Well, you know, if it means that we're going to have to look for money and support elsewhere, but it also means that we have to advocate even harder to make sure that the 8th District gets its portion of the budget that it so richly deserves.
Are you saying that right now it does not get the budget that it deserves, or how is it broken down?
I just believe that the budget money that should have been directed to help eliminate a lot of these challenges that the 8th District residents face really should have been addressed.
What's the most important thing we should know about you?
The most important thing you should know about me is that I have served both as a volunteer for the city and the state as a commissioner for the Department of Water and Power, and I've served as a commissioner for the California Commission for Economic Development. In both of those roles, my role was focusing in on how we create jobs and impact new industries and support existing industries. And Bernard Parks has continuously lied about my track record, lied about my organization, lied about my work on the Department of Water and Power Commission, and I believe people will see through that, because the truth is, in my work, I have actually helped over 1,000 businesses. And so to try to discredit the work that we've done post-1992 civil unrest is appalling, and I just need people to know that. I really believe you have to stay connected with your residents and constituencies and the stakeholders within your district. And he has managed to disconnect himself. So that's something that I distinguish myself in, is that I actually like to attend meetings and enter into dialogue and hear the responses and requests of people, so that we can work through and build consensus, so that when we do make a decision, everybody knows what it is.
That was Faresi Hogan Rolls, city council candidate for District 8. You heard from 4 city council candidates during today's newscast, but you can access all candidate interviews from the 8th and 10th districts on our website. To hear those interviews and other news from South Los Angeles, go to annenbergradio.org. And now we hear from Annenberg Television News with Candace Brain. Hey, Candace, what's going on today at 6 p.m.?
Well, a Los Angeles grand jury is considering new charges for falsifying documents against former Bell City Administrator Robert Rizzo. Rizzo's attorney says the charges have no claim. Also, Northwestern University's president is calling for an investigation of a psychology class that got a little too graphic. And there's a new dessert place in L.A., and we'll show you what delicious treats they offer. Stay tuned for Annenberg TV News at 6 o'clock.
Thanks, Candace. And that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Smitha Bondade, Laurel Galanter, and Carl Nickenig. Christine Trang is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan Dickey.